In the Warren County Radio Bible School today, we're looking at an old Sunday school lesson about serving in and through the church. You know, many years ago, I made that decision that I was going to live my life in service to God, and I knew how to do that. We serve God by serving His church. And so this Sunday school lesson is about that. It was written for the Sunday schools of February the 20th, 1927. And E.A. Elam put this Sunday school lesson together. It's going to go into detail in the text from Matthew 5, 13 through 16, in the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus says, "Ye are the salt of the earth," and then again, "Ye are the light of the world," and then in Acts 2, verses 42 through 47, where we read about the fellowship they had in the first church of Christ in Jerusalem, beginning on that day of Pentecost. But there's some other readings that are suggested that we read to prepare ourselves for this lesson. One of them is 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 9 through 12. And here Paul writes, "But concerning love of the brethren, ye have no need that one write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. For indeed, ye do it toward all the brethren that are in Macedonia. But we exhort you, brethren, that ye abound more and more, and that you study to be quiet, and to do your own business, and to work with your hands, even as we charged you, that ye may walk becomingly toward them that are without, and may have need of nothing." And then, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 12 through 15. "But we beseech you, brethren, to know them that labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and esteem them exceedingly high in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. And we exhort you, brethren, admonish the disorderly, encourage the faint-hearted, support the weak, be long-suffering toward all, see that none render unto anyone evil for evil, but always follow after that which is good, one toward another, and toward all." Well, those are certainly good readings to go along with this topic. And now we're going to get into the helps and hints for the teacher for this Sunday school lesson. But first, let me remind you, the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. Here are the helps and hints for the teachers. The place where the Sermon on the Mount was delivered is supposed to be Mount Hattin, 7 miles southwest from Capernaum and about 3 miles west of the Sea of Galilee. Of this place, McGarvey says, "But the sides of the hill are too steep for the assembling of such a multitude as heard the Sermon on the Mount, and its summits are not sufficiently capacious. There's no reason at all for giving credence to the tradition." That was in Lands of the Bible that McGarvey wrote many years ago, page 318. But again, he says on page 520, it was selected without reason in the period of the Crusaders. Now, I have been over to that land, and during that time of the Crusaders, they went through and identified what they thought were many places where the events of the New Testament took place. Those are the traditional sites, and many of them may be in the very right place, but many of them may not be so. And so when you go visit these old traditional sites, you need to remember, well, this it's the tradition that this New Testament event occurred right here. And it may not be that exact place, but it would have been a place somewhat like it, at least in some regards, or it wouldn't have been chosen and it wouldn't become that tradition. The Sermon on the Mount, it seems, was delivered during Christ's first general tour through Galilee. It contains basic principles of his kingdom. In obedience to these, one must enter into and live in his kingdom. The Church of Christ is the training school on earth in which his disciples are developed into the practice of these principles. Christ came to the earth, suffered, died, and rose from the dead in order to restore God's rule. When all men live according to these principles, God's will is done on earth as it is in heaven. The Sermon on the Mount teaches implicit obedience to and perfect reliance upon God. Look at the conclusion of the Sermon on the Mount. In Matthew 7 and verse 21 we read, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy by thy name, and in thy name cast out demons, and by thy name do many mighty works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Every one therefore that heareth these words of mine and doeth them shall be likened unto a wise man who built his house upon the rock. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon the rock. And every one that heareth these words of mine and doeth them not shall be likened to a foolish man who built his house upon the sand. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and smote upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall thereof. And it came to pass, when Jesus had finished these words, the multitudes were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes." These principles that are laid out in the Sermon on the Mount are quite the opposite of what the world admires and calls great. It must not be understood that he who cultivates any one or a few of these to the exclusion of the rest will be blessed, but he who cultivates and practices them all together. This lesson embraces only two of these principles, but it is necessary to understand what the Sermon on the Mount is, since the subject of this lesson is serving in and through the church. It is very necessary to know that God cannot be served out of the church. Serving God puts one in the church. To say one can serve God out of the church is equal to saying that one can serve God while in sin. Because the moment one reaches the forgiveness of sins, one becomes a part of the church. It is necessary to know what the church is. The word church is a translation of the word which came from words that mean called out. God's called out ones are his church. They have been called out of darkness into his marvelous light, 1 Peter 2:9. They have been called out of darkness into light to remain out and to walk in the light as he is in the light, 1 John 1 and verse 7. In Acts 8, 1 through 4, it is stated that the church was persecuted and that Saul laid waste the church, entering into every house and dragging men and women, committed them to prison. And they, that is, the church, were scattered all abroad except the apostles. This shows that Christians, children of God, constitute the church. Whatever is done to them is done to the church. People cannot be saved from their sins, become children of God, are Christians, without being part of the church. or that much of the church, are parts of God's family, are citizens of his kingdom. In Acts 9 and verse 31, it is stated that the church throughout all Judea and Galatia and Samaria had peace, being edified and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, and was multiplied. This shows again what the church is. It's the people of God. They who have peace receive edification, walk in fear of the Lord and the comfort of the Holy Spirit, and are multiplied. The church exists all the time, every day in the week and all the year round. The church comes together at the times God specifies for work and worship, namely, on the first day of the week. Whatever Christians or children of God do in obedience to him at all times, in shops and stores and factories and offices, on farms and homes, as housewives or mothers, rearing children in the fear of the Lord, or following any honest occupation, or doing any other good in the name of Christ, that's church work. Hence, it is serving God in the church. Now let's look at these words that Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5, 13 through 16. Jesus said, "You're the salt of the earth. But if the salt hath lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and trodden under the foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hid, neither do men put a light a lamp and put it under a bushel, but on a stand, and it shineth to all that are in the house. Even so, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." You're the salt of the earth, with all the conditions of heart and qualifications of character given in the previous part of Matthew 5, cultivated and manifested by Christ's disciples, they are indeed the salt of the earth and the light of the world. We're familiar with the properties of salt. Christ's disciples are the salt of the earth in that they influence others to be saved, and in that like manner of righteous persons not found in Sodom who would have saved the city, they save the earth and its inhabitants from immediate destruction. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how you ought to answer each one, Colossians 4 and verse 6. Those who have lost their influence for good are like salt that has lost its savor, and they're good for nothing. Ye're the light of the world. Whatever makes manifest is light, and the fruit of the light is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, Ephesians chapter 5. The disciples of Christ show what Christianity is, what it has done for them. Their light shines through their good works. They're like a city on a hill, which cannot be hid, like the salt, which has lost its savor. If the light which is in Christ's darkness, the Christ's disciples, be darkness, how great is that darkness? Matthew 6 and verse 23. The Philippians shone as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life. But we also read about the church at work in Acts chapter 2, beginning in verse 42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' teaching and in fellowship and in breaking of bread and the prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common, and they sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all, according as every man had need. And day by day, continuing steadfastly with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from at home, they took their food with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to them day by day those being saved. We'll discuss this in the next class.